This time on the Popular Parallax.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
I know, Father.
So, you have accepted the truth.
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten.
Sci-fi does the 80s, or these aliens are literally teddy bears. I'm Jerrica Lala, and with me, the queen of the high-top Reeboks, Bunny Sunnydale. Sup, Bunny?
I just got back from a sweet McDonald's dance party with my friend Mac.
Wow, that sounds low budget. So we were talking about sci-fi specifically during the 80s had a different spin than almost any other sci-fi. And as each period of history is reflected in mm-hmm. really in all art we create. The 80s sci-fi is just overdose. It's out there. It's super adorable. Everything is cute, cute, cute. Even when it's kind of gross, it's also kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's quite kid-centered.
Oh, yeah. Kids had all the money.
Kids are where the money is. You know, baby boomers are running the show, and they were young. They had their kids, and they wanted those kids to have everything, and
yep.
they wanted to be the coolest parents in the world. And I think that's how a lot of this... When I think about the 80s as just, like, an entity, I, for some reason, always go back to... These glasses I had, they were pretend glass. They weren't with a prescription.
Yeah.
And they were Polly Pocket glasses.
Oh, God.
That were very ornate, super pink. Like, when you went through, everything became neon pink.
So perfect. I wore them.
And they had a little stick on each side that you could interchange what doll stuck on the fucking glasses. So they were insane. And it was just like, yeah, you can wear those out. Why wouldn't you? And you blended right in. It wasn't like now if I saw a kid wearing that, I'd be like, that kid's pretty super gay. But at the time, totally normal. Because all kids were wearing weird high tops.
Oh, everyone was wearing weird things.
Yeah, weird like headbands and like cuffs that matched.
I had these Punky Brewster shoes and they were like every color imaginable.
Yeah.
And they went with nothing. They just looked like a rainbow vomited all over your feet.
Yeah.
God damn it. I love those shoes.
I had a headband and on inside were those flat batteries and lights would flash all the way around. And then
80s.
I would go out, dance to DeBarge, come back. So we thought to start maybe the biggest sci-fi of the 80s, Return of the Jedi.
Ewoks.
Even the Star Wars franchise, because you had, you know, Episode 4, Episode 5, which I still think is the strongest.
Yes.
I also love Return of the Jedi, but it did swerve into the 80s a little bit with the adorable bears. They're literal teddy bears, Ewoks of Endor.
Yeah, they ran around looking cute.
And they got
talking
a
gibberish.
Lot of screen time.
You can you can't sell movie. Toys if Bingo. You never fucking see them.
We had the introduction of the speed bikes through the forest and these adorable little aliens who fight with like rocks and
yeah, they have slingshots and arrows and stuff.
It's a little like People of the Forest kind of weird thing. Yes, and of course the baby one makes friends with Leia.
Yay.
They went over with kids like a rainbow of chocolate, Skittles, and ice cream. Like it was the greatest thing. Every kid, even kids who hadn't seen the other movies, saw this movie.
Oh yeah, I mean. I love those Ewoks.
It was...
I have one.
Yeah, it was huge.
I got it for Christmas.
The toys were out of control.
And I mean, my poor mom, oh my God. So I had, you know, because of the cartoon, I want a girl Ewok doll. The girl one. She looked everywhere for this
So
thing.
Did every little girl. That was why we should have had more than one. But there
was there even a doll of it? Because my mom said she looked everywhere. And I was like, really? Because I don't know that one exists. I told her like
a few years ago.
I mean,
there was definitely a Wicket doll.
Yeah, that's the one I have. But I'm like,
I don't want this one.
I want that white one.
Probably.
With the pink hood.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there was a stuffed one.
I don't think there was.
Probably
so
not.
I'm not surprised she didn't find it.
I'm actually surprised they didn't do that because they would have sold like hotcakes.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, this one?
But it was like purely a toy selling.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, we need aliens here. What would we sell that would be super cute that all children will love? Let's just make them little tiny midgets wearing teddy bear suits.
Well,
and
it worked.
It worked like nothing had ever worked before.
You have Chewbacca. They're just like little midget Chewbaccas.
Yeah.
So,
but
I mean,
they're even cuter.
They're even cuter. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's hard to say, oh, they did this when, like, it's not really coming out of left field
like,
or anything.
Well, no,
they're just,
all
but
the
they
movies
are
were
super
heavily merchandised.
Cute. Yeah.
But
oh,
these
yeah.
just went over like a house on fire. And it was like Chibifying.
Yeah.
The Wookiee character, right? Yeah. They're like tiny and adorable and super cute. It was so popular that the movie spun off into two Saturday morning cartoon shows that mm-hmm. were run back to back. The droids.
Yuck.
And the Ewoks.
Yay!
Which I watched religiously. Both.
I was always mad when droid was on.
No, you know, droids.
Like, be over.
Yeah.
Ewoks!
I don't know. The droids are pretty action-packed. And the Ewoks were like hippies. They were just
light
a fire.
Looking at clips, they weren't doing a lot.
They had some necklaces. They had some like fiery dragons that showed up for some reason. And
but yeah, they
voodoo
didn't
magic.
Yeah, they didn't really do a lot of. There must have been something going on in those episodes, but I don't remember.
No, but I know I definitely was on the droid. And I say you were on the Ewok end.
Yep.
But I did always watch both. It wasn't like, oh, I hate this one and I like the other one. Like yourself.
That was me.
Now, one of the reasons I may have enjoyed the droid so much was the uber catchy theme song that we listened to. And we were like, is that Sting? Like, it's just like, you know what? Futuristic droids. It's far, long, long ago, but it's kind of futuristic. They need some British white reggae in their opening. Because I'm just
like, it went perfectly.
Yeah, is that
perfect.
Like sending out an SOS? Like, I was like, what is happening? It is. It's one of the police. Stuart Copeland wrote and performed the intro, which is like getting into trouble. Da, 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 da. Like, but it sounds exactly like a police song. Like
guitar solo.
Stepping softly in a danger zone. No weapon in my hand. It's just this brain designed by man. Got me in trouble again. Trouble again.
It is so
80s, 80s, 80s.
It's funny to think about comparing now and then because I just feel like the trouble that is gone to make kids material is just not like it was.
No.
They
don't even really have Saturday morning cartoons anymore,
no.
right? Like,
and
it's just
I mean,
like, hope you have
the
cartoon.
Is part of that
the
just
cartoon
the kids
network.
Are watching it on some app that has cartoons on it?
I don't know, or like the specialty channels? But I mean,
yeah. But it used to be every channel, different thing. Like, there were a million cartoons to watch. And I know that's not like that.
No, sucks. And kids get a like crap deal.
Yeah, the trouble they took to produce some of these movies, and I'm not saying that Return of the Jedi is just a kids movie.
Oh, no, no.
But a lot of the ones we're talking about today are very centered at kids, but they have full production value. Like, it's a full-on live-action sci-fi extravaganza. And maybe I'm just out of touch as an adult, but I'm trying to think of like any movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most sci-fi movies now are not that
kid friendly.
It's like kids could go see some of the stuff, but it doesn't. It's
they're
not
starring kids.
They're definitely
you know?
Not starring kids. And some of them, there are parts where you're like, oh, that's actually pretty violent. Or
yeah,
that's, you know what I mean. But the kids just sort of get through it. And
yeah,
it's fine. But like, you know, I was kind of surprised, like even going to, and I mean, I guess standards really change in the 3,000 years since the 80s. But people taking their kids to things like The Winter Soldier, like, and I, it's not super gross, but it is quite violent. Like, out of all those movies,
mm-hmm.
the fighting is really intense. And I was like, wow. And I'm not, like, not 12-year-olds, like, 6-year-olds. I don't know. Like, I just can't imagine doing that as a kid. But I went to Return of the Jedi, and that had the big monster in it. But that's a fake puppet.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The movie, I guess they figure it's so much money, they just can't be bothered.
I guess, yeah.
To do
I mean,
that.
The demographic is very, like, they want teenage,
yeah,
young
they want
dudes
people with money
and
to be able to pay
it.
For it themselves, yeah. And that's it. The extraterrestrial.
That is one of my favorites. I love it
it's
so
one of everybody's favorites.
Just because it takes place in the 80s, like it's not just
yeah,
like
it's,
an 80s
it's not
movie.
As like hilarious. Like when you watch it, you're like, oh my god, like it doesn't yeah. have as much of that. We've got a little boy and his very little sister, played by Drew Barrymore, in a
she's
breakout
tiny.
Role. She's excellent.
Yeah, she's great.
And the older brother, and an alien crash lands. Oh, they leave him.
They leave him behind. So they're there and they're collecting
they're on
plants.
A scouting
yeah,
mission.
They're botanists and they're collecting plants and vegetation for their studies. And they're minding their own business. They're picking up plants. They're having fun. And then, you know, somebody saw this giant fucking spaceship yeah. land in the woods. So they're like, let's get the fuck out there. So they're out there. The aliens are like, oh, shit. So they pack up. And E.T. has wandered a bit too far away. He's fucking around looking at stuff. Yeah. And he doesn't make it back to the ship. And they're just like, for the greater good. Bye-bye. Yep. We gotta go.
They take off.
So, and then he's left there. And he finds Elliot, and he helps him and gives him food and shelter.
I distinctly remember him leaving a trail of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, because he goes out to the shed, because he's like, something's out in the shed. And he sees him, and he's like, there's a fucking alien back there.
Yeah.
The mom doesn't believe him, and his older brother thinks he's a fucking idiot. Yeah. And everyone makes fun of him, and he's like, fuck you guys. I know what's going on. He knows he's out in the woods, so he leaves his little candy fucking gumdrop trail or Reese's yeah. Pieces
Reese's
back to the
pieces,
house.
That's what it was.
Yep. And he gets them. That alien yeah. loves his candy. Yeah. So he wanders right up into his bedroom, scarfing down all the candy he can. And then they're best friends. Yay!
And in another scenario, I think the alien would have been quite scary. And it's adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the tone of the movie. The yeah. alien's pretty weird.
He's smushy and cute.
Yeah, he's
like,
got
it's
a
not...
he's got a very gentle face.
Yeah, he's got giant yeah. eyeballs. And he's like, look at me. I'm
yeah,
cute.
The neck that was weird that went back
oh, yeah?
on the back of his head. Like, it was sort of went like that.
Yeah.
But at least it didn't look like a guy in a fucking suit.
Yeah, it didn't look like a guy in a suit. And he didn't look like menacing and terrifying.
I guess it was a small person in the wide shots and a puppet, like a very intricate puppet
so, yeah.
in the close shots, but it was very convincing.
Yeah.
The government
oh yeah, the
gets wind
government.
Of it. The alien gets very, very sick, and the yeah. little boy gets very, very yeah. sick along with him. It's mesmerizing as a film, really. And you will cry watching the yeah. film. Like, it's like he's
like still. Like,
totally.
No.
Totally. It's an iconic. Like the kids on the bike. Like, it's yep. one of those, like, every moment of the film is kind
yeah.
of like a thing.
Yeah.
And I think Spielberg tried to make other sort of duplicates later in the decade of the, along this line, and he didn't. It stands totally alone, and it was this huge, very expensive movie, and it was absolutely for kids. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I just don't see that now.
No, there's no
that would cost millions of dollars and have beautiful special effects, and it's starring kids and for kids. Just an interesting phenomenon, and it really was 80s centered, because I'm not sure how much of that you'd find before that either.
Mm-hmm.
You find stuff for kids, but not this kind of full-blown big huge budget live action film. It's this phenomenon of the, and I do think it has some kind of connection with the baby boomers.
Those boomers.
Yeah, because that's when they were in control, was the 80s, and that's when a lot of them got fucked up, but you know, it was the age of me, and I think their kids were like, our kids are the best, and our kids are gonna have this, and they're gonna, you know, our kids are the smartest, so they're
yeah.
gonna, and there's gonna be movies about kids that are computer geniuses and all yep. that stuff, right? Now, on the other side of E.T., was a little thing called gremlins.
Oh, gremlins.
Don't get them wet.
No, yeah, that doesn't make it, like...
Oh, none of it makes any sense.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
But
you
it was huge.
Oh, yeah. But again, they had delightful toys.
Yeah.
You know,
but
it takes place at Christmas.
Far less kid-friendly, because it was kind of scary.
Yeah, and, like,
yeah.
some... Like, the debate over if that's, like, kids or not, if it's a Christmas movie or not. Like, it's the same kind of like Die Hard's a Christmas movie kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the scene in the kitchen.
It's a comedy horror.
The scene in the kitchen. They're there. They're eating cookies. They're fucking some shit up because they're troublemaking little bastards.
They're eating after midnight, which is the other
rule. Yeah, so they're the bad, like the actual gremlins, not the mugwai.
The green lizardy devil things.
Yeah, the gremlins. So they're in there and the mom's like comes in. It's like, oh my God, gremlins. And she fucking butchers them. Like, she chops one into 1,000 pieces. She microwaves one of them. She throws another one in a blender and just like pulverizes them. And you're like, holy shit. Yeah. That woman's a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Like, what? And then the whole thing with like Phoebe Cates talking about why she hates Christmas. You're just like,
where did this come from?
Holy. Yeah. What the fuck is happening? But I mean, like, holy shit, those little guys are cute. So
life is terrible. Everything is bad. These aliens are gross. Gonna put them in a blender, and you're like, oh my God! Like, it's not good.
The guy's just like, boo. Why do you hate Christmas? Nobody hates Christmas. Blah blah blah.
And nobody doesn't celebrate Christmas because it's the 80s.
Yeah. And she's just like, boom, my dad dressed up as Santa and died in the chimney. That's why I fucking hate Christmas. And he's like, never mind.
It's the dumbest horror movie shit. Like, you're like, of course he did. Of course he did. I wish we had seen that, to be honest.
No shit.
And it's, I mean, I didn't see Gremlins till way later.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, my parents would have none of that.
Oh, my parents were just like, what ifs?
Like, what ifs?
People are talking about this. You got to see.
Yeah.
You got to know what's in the know. I'm like, give me my toys.
I didn't even have the, I think, some kid, maybe my neighbor had the cute, puffy Gremlin toy, but I don't think I even had the
I
did have a lot of toys.
I know,
I had
a lot of toys. I had the puffy, like, stuffed Gizmo. We had a plastic, like, hard,
gross.
Like, this toy sucks Gizmo. And then we had, like, a bendy, posable Gremlin guy.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm feeling like, even though it was sort of gross and sort of bleak, I feel like McDonald's Happy Meals had the little gremlin.
Maybe.
Because I think that's why I feel like I had a little one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
and
it
I mean,
was in a
they
friggin'
had,
meal.
They had tie-ins with fucking everything.
Yeah. Speaking of McDonald's.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about a little gem called Mac and Me.
Gem is an interesting
word. Yeah, gem, the kind of gem that you poop out and you're like, oh, I didn't know where that ring went. Like, it is
indescribably
awful.
Yeah, it's not great. It's just it's just someone saw E.T. making a bunch of money and said, I want money too.
We could
and
do
that
this.
Person was Ronald McDonald.
Yes, McDonald's funded this. They produced it, I guess. Because the whole movie is a commercial for McDonald's
and
Coke. The aliens
they
called,
love the Coke too.
Well,
they're
Coke
always
like
drinking
part
the Coke.
Of McDonald's,
yeah.
Right? The alien is called Mac. This little alien. Oh my God!
The font's like exactly the same as the like Big Mac font.
I know, and it is. It's like imagine E.T. but super tacky and with like a quarter of the budget or less, like really low budget.
Yeah, I think
budget.
It's less, yeah.
Because the aliens are horrifying.
They're super disgusting. Like, whereas E.T. is kind of like that brown little squishy worm mushroom guy.
Well, E.T. looks like it could be alive.
Yeah.
These do not. They look like
And I mean, these are these tall, skinny, they're skin looks like it looks like throw up come to life. Like, they're so just ugly to
and just,
look at.
Just like you got a little boy and his family moved to California, and then somehow they get caught up with these aliens.
Yeah.
The little boy, since he can't ride a bike,
he probably
like
leaves
Elliot,
a trail of fries.
They put him in a wheelchair, so it's a little boy in a wheelchair just to make it extra touching.
Yep.
And the shit they put this kid in the wheelchair through is beyond. He falls off a cliff in the wheelchair. He like gets. He rolls through traffic. Like there's no making the wheelchair fly because they do not have the money for that. But they can push
they
somebody into traffic and throws it off a cliff. So the alien can like save him from drowning. It is. And they're just like, hey, we need to kill like 10 minutes because we have no script. Let's just hire like about a dozen black kids and just have them have a breakdance party outside McDonald's, because that's all they do, right?
Yeah.
That's all black kids do these days. They're wearing their high tops and they're just like, and
it was a birthday party. I don't know.
Inside. This was just outside. Like, it's like kind of.
They were part of the party?
But they were teenagers.
I know. Well, even in the back of the yeah, there was like a little kid's birthday party. But in the back of the McDonald's, there's like these giant football players, and you're like, who the fuck are these guys? Because then the government shows up again, of course, and the football guys are like, no, we're the bouncers at this little girl's birthday party
at a McDonald's. And the older brother's girlfriend works at McDonald's, course, so she's always wearing shirt.
Yeah. The uniform the whole time.
But my favorite part is when the government gets there, because just like E.T., they're after him, but E.T. wasn't hiding it at McDonald's. and this alien, this Mac.
Yeah.
It's this little thing that's about a meter tall or less.
Yeah.
And it's hiding in like an unstuffed teddy bear. Like, it's a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, it's like Silence of the Lambs. Kids, toys, and aliens.
And then they run outside because they're running away from the government guys. And they're like, out of the way. And they keep running. And the kids outside dance after them.
You're like, what? They're like, this worked in Thriller. It's fun. And you're like, no, this isn't Thriller. Holy shit. Oh my God.
Gonna hear the rhythm of the night. Like, what is happening? So anyway, there's that. By the way, the entire movie of Mac and Me is on YouTube, so go crazy. Oh my God. That's an hour and 40 minutes you're never getting back again.
Yeah.
And we can't in good conscience recommend it, but it's so amusing.
Oh God.
I think you have to see E.T. to appreciate just exactly how terrible it is. Because it is a direct rip-off.
Yeah, and I find the 80s was big for that. Like, you would find something that worked, and then two or three other things that were just let's try to get some of that money.
Yeah. Well, we have that. Our next example, Short Circuit. Robots starring in movies. There's another thing, you know.
Yeah.
Unless it's fucking Prometheus. That's not really a thing you see. And Short Circuit was about this charming robot called Number 5.
Yep.
That Steve Guttenberg built. There's somebody I haven't seen in a minute.
Yeah, he didn't survive the 80s. Like,
Buddy and I were watching it. I was like, is Steve Guttenberg still alive? See?
I think he is.
Yeah, because I was just like, what? Because he was in like Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, he was in everywhere.
He was in all these comedies, and they were usually like goofy comedies, but he was probably making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then he was gone.
Yep.
Just like that. He was gone. We have to look up Steve. See, hey, Steve, if you're listening, because he might be. But anyway, it's Steve Guttenberg, and who else? Ally Sheedy. She was
speaking of the 80s.
Shit, I have to do something besides The Breakfast Club. How about this robot script? This looks pretty good.
It's the fucking government, the military, and they're making these robots for, you know, war purposes, because America.
Yeah.
So anyway,
this is a big, unwieldy robot. Like,
yeah,
he runs
he's
on
this
these,
big,
like,
clunky fucking...
like a tank thing that he runs on.
He's got
on,
these, like,
and it's, like,
treads.
8 feet tall.
He's giant, and he's got little, like... camera eyeballs, and you know,
they try to make the face cute because it always has to be cute, but it's huge.
He's huge and very awkward, but like still it's all wires and metal, so it's big and bulky, but it also looks like you'd break it with just like anything.
Oh yeah, well, it looks, his arms look like a metal IKEA lamp. You just go psh, and it would be broken.
It's like, oh, that's that. Oh, except it's like, was he $11 million worth of fucking hardware?
We're
and technology.
Talking about $11 million, Steve Guttenberg. It's probably more than Steve made to make this movie. But the robot says
so
things
the robots,
like thumbs up. Like
yeah,
the robot
he's,
is so
he's
fucking
just
annoying.
Like pukes out any sort of like 80s crap. And I mean, So what happens is he's out there and he gets like struck by lightning, right?
Yeah.
So of course he comes to life because that
doesn't
just
break him.
Happens.
He just wakes up.
Yeah. And I mean,
now he's like Data.
Yeah. I don't know how you coded that fucking guy, but if one shock gives him fucking like consciousness,
Frankenstein
like,
or something,
fucking fucked up. So he comes to life and is just like, wait a minute. This sucks. He takes off. And then, of course, he meets fucking Ally Sheedy.
He takes off in a truck. But yeah, it's like, how does he push the pedals? Like, how does he push the, he's made out of, he's like, his legs
has
are
no
like
feet.
Tank wheels, yeah. But he's, the whole, like, gag of the movie yeah. is his metal arm coming out and adjusting the mirror.
Yeah.
High five. I'm like, I hate you.
So, yeah, so then it's everyone's trying to get him, but yeah. then Ally Sheedy's trying to save him, and then Fisher Stevens shows up, and he's, like, East Indian for no reason in this
of
thing.
Well,
and,
it's the 80s.
Oh
and
my
we
God.
Were very
and then,
diverse with geez. Our casting choices.
So then they show up, they find him, and Ally Sheedy's like, no, man. Dude's alive. That robot's alive. And they're like, no, he's fucking not. That's
I believe
crazy.
She says, number five is alive. That's what
everyone
she says.
Says that. They say like 18,000 times. And then, I don't know, the robot says some funny things and does a dance, and Gutenberg's like, damn, she's right.
Somehow he's come to life.
And then there's a big zany adventure, and that's that. The 80s.
And there was a sequel.
And it concludes with a freeze frame, probably.
Probably of him doing a high five.
Yes. It's,
there was a sequel. This is,
yes.
And it was ridiculous, and
yes.
it was a huge hit. That show... That
people
shows
fucking
the mindset
loved it.
Of society. They were like, yes, I am buying what you are selling with
yeah.
this movie. Because, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say I was entertained by this movie, but I was a child.
I was a child. Yeah.
I was
we
a
were
child,
children. We had a total pass.
They were like, oh, that's adorable. I'm like, yeah. it's not. It's not good.
Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine that going over at all. Nowadays,
if it,
right?
If it
like,
was made now, it would be some kind of like twisted humor.
Oh, if it well, would be made now, it would be fucking Chappie. Yeah,
Chappie
is what you get now.
Chappie was like, yeah, but I haven't seen. Did you see that?
No, because I know that they're gonna fucking kill Chappie, and I'm gonna be sad, and I didn't want to watch
well,
it.
It's too bad because I mean, they got those weird European rappers are in it, sort of playing yeah. themselves, and then Hugh Jackman, of course, because Hugh's saying what time? Like I'm gonna yeah. do it, whatever it is. But I did read that it is not great.
I heard it's not good, and I just know there's no way that.
The thing lives.
It's gonna
it's
get chewed up.
It's produced by the same people who did District 9.
Yeah, they don't think people are great. So,
no.
I mean, if you've got aliens versus robots, the people are the worst. You've
yeah.
got robots versus people, the people are the worst.
Yeah.
You're gonna kill
well, a
robot.
Well, I think Hugh Jackman
like,
plays
pass.
Like a douchebag. Who's
yeah, he's
like,
a douchebag.
Kill that robot.
Like, oh,
it's gotta go.
I have a beard, so I'm bad.
That's how it works with him. But that's the closest thing I can think of. And that didn't go over.
No.
Like, it did, was not
But,
a
I mean,
hit.
He, like, Chappie was cute.
Yes.
He,
yes. But he was also enormous. It did remind me of number five.
I know. But, I mean, it was not fun. It's not a zany adventure. It's
No, it was supposed to be. A,
look at how terrible people are.
It was supposed
are.
To be some kind of parable.
Yeah.
And all. Yeah, for sure. It wasn't something
Boo.
To just take your four-year-old kid to.
No shit.
Yeah.
We can do a marathon of that and then fucking Watership Down and just fuck them right up.
Dead people. Yeah, so they had Short Circuit 2, which I'm totally blank on. And I saw that too.
Yeah, that was just...
Bullshit.
Let's get more money.
Yeah.
And just crap. I don't even think Gutenberg was in that one.
Before we put this robot into the dumpster, let's make another movie. But coming along with Short Circuit was... Steven Spielberg's Batteries Not Included. Tiny spaceships. That's,
and they had big
the
eyeball
movie.
Things.
Yeah.
And they would float
they
around.
Just
and
cute, adorable, tiny spaceships that come to, like, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And meet some real, real Brooklyn-type people that aren't... They're not fancy movie star types.
Nope.
And it's just supposed to be this heartwarming bullshit. Like, it's barely even sci-fi. It's just...
Yeah, it's just like... Like
family
a,
movie with some space little tiny
yeah.
spaceships that look like friggin' necklaces.
Yeah, and I remember, like, even as a kid, I was like, this sucks. This is boring.
It's shocking that it's Spielberg.
Boring. It is. Yeah.
Wait, I feel like it's like, oh.
Whoa, that's a miss.
Hey, kids. You thought E.T. was good. Wait till you see these tiny spaceships that have no personality and can't do anything. You're like, what? But that was, it felt like, yeah, it was one of those like, oh, here comes another one. Like, it was all these like metal friends.
Yeah, it was just, you had things like Ewoks and Wookiees and fuzzy Mugwais. And you're like, yeah. And then they were like, oh, well, if those are too cutesy poo for you, here are robots. Still cute.
Still adorable.
Still adorable.
Yeah, still could be made into like Christmas decks and toys.
But yeah, but still very toy friendly.
Yeah.
And
they did sell toys for Batteries Not Included. I remember seeing them
at
People's.
I had like a Hootbot. I had all sorts of little robot things. I fucking had so much shit.
I had a lot of shit for an only child.
Well,
but
I had more because
everything.
Like there are three of us, right? So we all wanted shit, so the house was just
full of
garbage. Yeah. I need a new toy box for all my stuff.
Well, and some of the furriness definitely spilled over into TV. By the mid-80s, we had a primetime sitcom starring a puppet named Alf.
Yes. Elf. It's mind-blowing that's just like, yep, that's my prime time.
I can't even think about that happening now. It would never happen. Because it was like a kid's show on at night.
He'd have to be solving crimes.
Yeah, he'd be on like
police
Elf.
Procedural.
Yeah. NYPD Elf. That would actually be an excellent show.
No shit.
It was on 86 to 90.
Oh my God.
Four seasons of a puppet. If anybody doesn't know, it was like a regular sitcom, like 80s sitcom with a house, husband and wife, a teenage girl, and a little boy.
Yep.
And a frigging like ripoff Muppet. And it was just this
like
thing,
wise.
His
always
name,
trying to eat the cat.
They called him Alf, but his name was Gordon Shumway. Like his real name on his planet. Melmac.
Yeah.
Was his
Melmac.
Planet. The planet Melmac. They ate cats.
Yep.
So the fucking puppet was always putting its mouth on the cat when the people weren't around. I have to say it had funny moments.
Oh, yeah.
Alf had a deep man's voice and was a real bastard, kind of an asshole. And they did do stuff like we watched a clip where he lit a gas stove after the gas had been running for a while and it explodes and the whole puppet's body like flies across the living room. And we laughed. We straight up laughed still.
Yep. It still, but still works.
Yeah. Yeah, a sitcom starring a Muppet, and the humans are like the co-stars for this Muppet. That's a good brush to your ego as the actor on the show.
No shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had a fucking toy of that thing.
Yeah, I had the Elf toy as well. Like, Elf was big. Well, that's why
just
it was on for
crazy.
4 years. Like, yeah.
He had, like, he would talk, and he would say all his dumb, like,
no problem! It was ridiculous. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
When you watch it now, you're like, this happened.
Yeah.
This happened.
Yeah. And I mean, even talking about like Muppets, like when the Muppet Show like was on, that's prime time. And I mean, they tried to do that recently. That fucking tanked it.
Yep. Didn't go down.
It was like. Yeah.
Well, they hit the wrong tone with it.
They admit. Yeah. That was not great.
Because the old Muppet Show, adults did enjoy watching the old Muppet Show. Mm-hmm. And it had adult type humor worked in.
Yeah.
And I found that this time around, I went to watch it and I hated it.
I know,
like,
I hated it too.
It was kind of, I don't
want
to see.
It was mean.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Muppets being assholes to each other.
No shit.
I don't mind if a human comes in and acts like an asshole, but you don't want to see them being like really, it did have a mean edge to it. And it was not.
No.
I think with Henson gone, it's just not the same. And I know he's been gone a very long time.
It still hurts though.
It does. Sad. Well, it hurts when they try to do stuff like that and you see what an influence he had on the tone. Because it's just like, guys, you're so off on this.
Yeah.
It's so off. It's not a little off.
Yeah.
And I also feel like the Muppets are sort of whorish now. They just show up anyway. Oh, Toyota commercial? What time?
Yeah.
Oh, you want Big Bird in a Toyota commercial? You want Piggy on MasterChef? I saw that the other night.
Oh!
They're just doing whatever because there's no one in the middle who's like, this is not a product that I'm just going to give to everybody.
Oh,
it's Disney
sad.
Now.
Oh,
right?
God.
Disney owns the Muppets.
They own
And I mean,
everything.
I know the Henson son is in there, but I just feel like he doesn't have as much control as maybe people think he does. I think Disney has the control. So that's a tangent.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have a primetime show with a stupid Muppet, and it was, again, it was a case. I think little people got quite a lot of work in the 80s.
No
more
kidding.
Than now, because they always needed a cute suit.
Willow.
To put, there you go. But how many suits were there for them to get into and be like, be a little cute alien? And they were like, but they did it because it's got money. And so I think it was a little person in the wide shots, which was not often on Alf, but sometimes you saw him walking around.
No, he was always behind a couch.
Usually
he
was at a
table
or behind a couch. I remember in the first few episodes, there was way more of him walking around.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were probably like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's way too much trouble.
When Kevin Flynn, a computer genius, unlocks the dimension beneath the screen, he becomes a prisoner in a world of his own making. The world of Tron.
Here, let's get classy.
That's a change.
That is a huge change. It's not gonna last. But another huge fad of the 80s was computers, because we were just starting into all this computer technology. Nobody really, as our very first episode, we talked about the internet in the 90s.
Yes.
In the 80s, there wasn't even internet yet, but these computers were freaking
computers.
People out.
Yeah.
Computers, arcade games, how does it work? And what world is beyond this computer machine? And now we know there's no world. But we got a movie in 1982, so early, called Tron.
Love Tron.
Jeff Bridges, I love it. It's not easy to watch. Like, it's not
easy
story to absorb, but it is one of my favorites.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I saw that as a very young child, and it blew my mind.
No shit, like, it's fucking crazy.
And I don't know now if people saw it and they don't know, but like it may look a little cheesy because it is very old computer graphics and stuff, but nothing like this had ever been seen.
Yeah.
Putting people into a computer grid like that, like the look of it.
Yeah.
Having the neon.
Yeah.
They rode these bikes.
The light cycles.
The light cycle. And their suits would glow neon.
Yeah.
And the cycles would leave these trails of neon.
They were all kind of like black and white, gray-ish. And the only real color was the computer-y stuff.
That's right. Well, it was like, it was almost like a photo negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole movie. And at the beginning, Jeff Bridges like, hey, man, I want to break into the system, man. It's going to be easy. Like, he's still the dude, even though it's 100 years ago. And he does. He runs a video arcade called Flynn's.
Yeah, because he writes the games.
Yeah.
And then they,
paranoid,
you know,
aliens.
Yeah, they steal a bunch of his games. And he's like, the fuck they do? These are my games. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, get them, man. And then the fucking computer's like, no, you don't. Into this system.
In the system. And yeah, it took me several watches to understand the story and what was happening. Because what's tricky about the way they shot it was it's hard to tell one person from another.
Yeah,
because
of that
color. That's
what I
found as a kid, because everything's in black and white and sort of like a negative. It's exactly like a negative. So you start going, wait, is that Jeff Bridges or Tron? Like, I got a little mixed up. And you do sometimes have to give it a second watch to get back and forth of a scene.
Okay.
Because everything's going fast as well, right? They're on these light cycles.
At least,
and you're like, what the fuck is happening? You could tell the women from the men. That was about it.
Yeah.
But the women are wearing the suits and stuff,
yeah,
too.
They look the same.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone has those helmets. It's not like they have
hair
or anything.
They have no defining features except if you're right in their face. So if it's a longer shot and they're like, you do this and you do that, I'm like, what the hell is
Who's
happening?
Doing what now?
Yeah.
I like the little bit that he had floating around.
Yeah.
You can just be like, meh, meh.
It got a lot of attention. A lot.
Well, I mean, it was fucking craziness.
Yeah.
Like,
Everything about it, the music was innovative, and not like friggin' Michael York's Paradise, where it's like bleep, bloop, 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 bloop. It was this like subtle, like.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was so cool. It was the coolest
thing
ever.
Where's shit like that now?
Tron Legacy.
Bunny's getting angry.
Bunny did not enjoy the Tron Legacy. I didn't mind it, but it's not. It definitely is flawed. But I think I was so happy to get into that world again.
Yeah.
And it was an enhanced Tron world. Like, it was more.
Yeah.
But they didn't wreck it by making it, like, we're going to revolutionize the whole thing and make it unrecognizable. Like, yeah, like, no, that's the grid. That's the light cycle. Mm-hmm. But it was just a little better. And you could see people better. And you could, because they could do it better. But the story's dumb as fuck. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. Like,
I wish that the boy playing the kid was a little stronger. He was pretty
boring. Seemed kind of, he was kind of
perfect for it. Like, he did look like Jeff Bridges' kid, no question.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a little flat.
Yeah,
I found.
And I mean, I would rather somebody stronger and then ignore the fact that he doesn't look like Jeff Bridges.
Exactly. Well, and the problem is too, like, in that kind of movie, it's so easy to get swallowed. Because all you're looking at is the special effects.
Yeah.
The actor has to really work to get your attention.
No kidding. And
what I liked about it, too, is I thought Jeff Bridges was going to be like a cameo. And he's in it a lot. And that was fun for me, too.
Yeah, I was glad about that.
Yeah, everybody was. Because they were like, this kid is a snooze.
Yeah.
But then when the dad comes into the picture, you're like, aw, yeah. And the soundtrack to that.
Oh, that's great.
Off the chain. Like, it was the original Tron soundtrack with Daft Punk reworking it.
Fantastic. Oh.
Yeah, as soon as the credits started and it's like, I was just like, oh, I saw it in IMAX and all the lasers were coming right at me. I freaked out. But not as strong as the first one.
No.
Interesting that they even did it after all that time.
Yeah.
And I believe that Tron Legacy spun off into a cartoon series.
I kind of do remember not watching that.
I did. I gave it a look, and it was kind of fun. But that whole idea isn't as cool when it's all a cartoon. Because in a cartoon, you can do anything and everything. And the whole point of it is like, oh my God, this is happening to real people.
Yeah.
So that was the flaw for me. But it was a cute idea. It wasn't
they
as
just
good
wanted
as like
more
a,
money.
It wasn't as good as like when The Matrix did their stuff after.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool,
But yeah, Tron really stands out to me in the 80s too, because it really is different. And people didn't try to copy it.
No.
Like, there's no like less good Tron.
No.
They were just like, no, that's just a thing. Good luck, all you bitches, trying to do that.
Yeah,
just,
no shit.
They probably took years to.
Yeah, and I mean, that's Disney money.
That's right.
And nobody else really has Disney money. So they're just like, you can have. Okay, there you go.
We're the Disney innovators or what?
They're what? Imagineers.
Imagineers. That is an Imagineeratorium.
No
is
kidding.
What that is. Like, my God. I'd like to see Disney World set up a Tron experience.
Well,
like
they should have done that when?
They should have done it in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they should have done it. That would have been super cool. And back. Now, just a couple of kids' movies. We have 1985's The Explorers.
Oh, yes. That one is great.
Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix.
And another guy.
And some guy we don't care about. As really young kids.
Yeah,
like
they're
maybe
like
10.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ethan Hawke has like a dream about some computery crap. Thankfully, he knows some computer genius that just lives down the street.
River Phoenix plays the nerdy genius.
Yep.
And Ethan Hawke plays like the cool kid. And I swear to God, Ethan Hawke looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. And actually, River Phoenix, like, you know him right away as well.
Yeah.
His little weird little profile, the sticking up nose. You see that. And you also see River Phoenix is already a better actor than Ethan Hawke. Ethan puts it in. He's okay. But River's just like, I'm in total control of this scene. And the other kids are like, yes, sir.
So they build this thing and then it creates this little bubble.
Right. An airtight.
Airtight bubble. So then they're like, holy crap. We can fly around in this thing.
First, they say we can look in the girls' locker room with this.
Well,
it's pretty
the
gross.
The 80s.
Yeah.
Little boys.
Porky's touch in there.
So then they pull down like a fucking tilt-a-whirl and all this shit. And they build this dumb little spaceship thing to go inside this bubble. And then they just, you know, just head up to space one day. meet some aliens.
This is the great thing about the 80s too. Like, I personally know that I could have been outside for like 7 hours before my parents were like, where's Jerrica? Maybe just, and then they just call.
Yeah. Everyone's just hollering out the door.
Maybe that's part of it. Like, now maybe nobody would believe that kids would be on their own long enough to get something like this off, done. Because their parents would be checking on them every 20 minutes to see that they were okay.
Well, fuck, they wouldn't even check on them. They'd be like, oh, it's time to go to soccer, or it's time to go to dance, or have you practiced your fucking piano or whatever?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, but I wanted to go outside and
I want to go outside all day and
play on my own. Yeah. And they're like, you will. Have you seen the schedule?
I'm going to come in one time. You're going to make me a fucking grilled cheese, and I'm going to be right back out the door again. It's summertime. If you need me, I'll be a mile away.
Yeah.
And your parents are like, cool. That's the whole point.
Yeah, maybe that is it.
That is part of it, because I was like, that is a huge culture shift, because I'm just like, yeah, because these guys were outside. Nobody cares what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, are you kids okay? They might do that once a day just to make sure they're alive.
Well, even when they were down in the basement hammering on shit, and the one guy's like, keep it down. You don't want someone to like fucking ask what we're doing. But I mean, they were making a hell of a racket, but and they're like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this might get someone's attention. Maybe.
Mom's drunk. She doesn't mind.
She can't hear whatever's happening on her soap opera.
Her stories.
Her precious stories. But yeah, I mean, those kids, like, and I mean, when they're stealing shit from the junkyard, they're tilt-a-whirl and crapped for their thing. Like, it's the middle of the fucking night. They're just like, I've got a bicycle.
Yeah.
I've got a ticket to ride. Yeah. I'm going wherever the fuck I want.
They're much more independent spirits, which will help you in the real world in the future. Just a thought. Just a thought.
Yep.
And the next year following the Explorers, we had Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites.
It's because good.
Not only do we have a spaceship, a little kid, Sarah Jessica Parker is like a preteen. We have time travel. So it's got all of that in there. And it's from a kid's point of view, it's pretty scary as time travel. This little boy who's maybe 11 or 12 has a regular like California. I think they live in Miami or I'm not sure. I feel like it wasn't California. I feel like it was Florida. Yeah, because they're near the Nassau. That's why.
Yeah.
But they have a dog that has Frisbee contests and they set up this whole thing. And then late at night when they're going back, once again, little brother takes off. Little brother's a pain in the ass and he takes off into the woods.
Yeah, just off into the woods.
And the older brother's following him and falls down a little gully. And he doesn't get hurt or anything, but I think he sort of bumps his head and he passes out. He wakes up like at night and you think he's just been out for like a second.
Yeah.
He gets back to his house and the parents don't live there. It's strangers. They end up calling the police because it's this lost child. He doesn't seem to have any idea. He thinks he's supposed to live there.
Yeah.
And they do some checks and finally the family comes in to pick him up and they are 14 years older.
Whoa.
So the little brother is now a big brother. Now the little brother is like 18.
What
they think
piss off.
Yeah, it is. It's the way they do it, and it is filmed for kids, and it was scary to me watching as a kid because it's so disorientating that he's gone from like 1973 to 1986 or whatever.
Yeah,
it was, just like boom, like 1 second, and it turns out he's been picked up by this spaceship, and they
Pee-wee
take him,
Herman.
Yeah, yeah. The ship is voiced by Pee-wee Herman, which is another. We talk about a fad.
Yeah,
oh my
wow,
God.
the '80s. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's full of cute little alien critters.
That's not, and they, you know what they were smart about with that is the alien critters didn't show up till about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't dominate the entire movie because he gets taken to NASA because they're like, what the hell? Because they know when he went missing, he was exactly this age.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't aged a day. They take him over there and they have the ship under like a cloak. And what's great, for 80s, the effects are unbelievable. They really stand up and it's just this floating ship. It never touches the ground. It looks like almost like a seashell. They have a
thing. And it's like silver and shiny
and
shit.
And it's calling to him. Like the kid keeps getting attracted to this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he finally sneaks out. He gets in and they take off. So he causes a hell of a ruckus.
Oh, yeah, he does.
But it does turn out positively in the end, even though
it's the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s.
Hooray!
But his sort of nurse that brings him food and stuff on a tray while he's at NASA is Sarah Jessica Parker, and she is like 15, legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting little
piece
additive.
Of trivia here.
Now, I believe this is a Disney film as well.
Yeah, and they were talking about rebooting it.
Really?
And people weren't happy.
I just don't know that you need to reboot it.
You don't need to reboot anything. Make something new.
I could see re-releasing it for sure because it really stands up. Like, it doesn't, it's not mired in its time period whatsoever. And the ship still looks great.
Yep.
When it opens and the stairs, the CGI still looks super real. Like, they spent money on this.
Disney money.
But I think there's no point to reboot it because it would just be... And again, it's like, once again, nowadays, I don't know if I'd believe that the little kid and his brother would just be skipping around through the forest in the middle of...
Yeah, right?
It's very of its time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't... They'd have to think of a really good twist to justify rebooting it. They can't just make the same movie.
They just make the same movie, but it's crappy.
Yeah, well, but it's already done so perfectly.
But that's exactly what they do. Yeah. They just take good things and fuck it up and say, we're going to make some money on this. And you're like, no, you're not.
It sort of does surprise me, though, of all the reboots, because I didn't think this one was popular enough to really go in for a big reboot, because it was one of Disney's sort of mid-level. Like, it wasn't a massive hit. It was popular.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it
wasn't like...
People who know it and like it really like it.
Yeah.
And then other people are just like, what's that?
Exactly, yeah. Like, so, a lot of people didn't see it.
Yeah, so, I mean, to say, let's do this and take the few people who do know what it is and just
annoy them,
piss them off. They won't do a good job, you know. I mean, maybe they will, but... Yeah.
Well, you have to, I just feel like you have to think of something really different to do to make it of this time.
Yep.
And make it so I want to see something other than just a shit, like, I don't know. You have to do something with it.
Yeah. That was a bit ago, so maybe they decided against it.
Well, they're still talking about another Labyrinth movie.
Oh my God.
I saw a new thing because they're saying, no, we're not going to remake it. It's like a movie in the same world. And I'm just like, yeah, but why?
Crap.
Yeah. Garbage.
Garbage. Like, who is that for?
Well, if they try to make it for kids, they're fucked. Like we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Kids don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I think people our age, like, it better be fucking good or nobody's. And
yeah. Like, if I had kids and they were like, hey, remember that thing that you loved as a kid? Now your kid can love this. And I'm like, my kid's not going to love that. That's a piece of shit, is what I would say.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, what are you throwing money at these? Come up with another idea.
For fuck's sakes.
My God. And I feel like they get amnesia, too, because, you know, Labyrinth was not a hit.
Yeah, right?
Labyrinth was a box office floppo, and it got popular once it was released. That's when it started picking up steam. And now it's a cult, literal cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that there's a big enough audience to make you like $1 billion when this Labyrinth, not Labyrinth thing gets remade. And who's going to be in charge of this thing? Again, with Henson gone, I get very nervous when they talk about stuff like this because it was his complete brainchild.
I mean, we saw that in the theater. Like, my whole family went, including my fucking old man dad.
Yeah.
And
watching Bowie gay it up all over the
my
place.
Dad's just like, I hate this. I think it was like summer. So it was one of those, like, I think it was summer and we probably went for like air conditioning.
Yeah.
And the air conditioning,
it did come out in the
in
summer.
The theater was broken. So it was hot as fuck.
Shit.
And then there's just a bunch of puppets running around and fucking Jennifer Connelly being
writing.
Like, "Wah, I don't want to be babysitter.
I hate you, Mom."
Yeah. And my dad's like, "Fucking kill me." Oh. Oh, Dad. Jesus. Poor pastor.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, God.
He sacrificed a lot.
Oh, God. He had to watch Harry and the Hendersons.
He probably, I can see your dad liking Harry and the Hendersons. Yeah, Speaking of puppets, fuck. Like, the 80s just would not stop. And it's not exactly sci-fi, but they would not stop with the puppets.
No.
And people who you think would never do these kinds of movies, there they are. Yeah. John Lithgow? What are you doing in Harry and the Hendersons?
It was in this fucking car.
People are like, oh, this seems like a reasonable script. I'm totally going to do this. Oh, I'm playing second to a huge puppet? No probs.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think of movies without puppets.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know what the world needs? More puppets.
Puppets and robots.
Yeah.
Like metal puppets.
Ooh.
That's what the robots are to me. Like Johnny Five, I'm just like, it's a metal puppet. Like, it's like a guy like pushing a lampshade in and out of a car over and over. High five. Like, ooh. Oh,
Johnny Five.
We loved it when it was
they
here.
They had a dance party in that, too, in her, like, trailer or something.
Of course. The 80s loved dance sequences. Like, if there wasn't puppets, there would at least be a dance sequence.
Yes. And if you could get your puppet dancing, then holy shit, it's a home run.
Yeah. A lot of interesting choices were made. I'm glad that I was there for it, but I'm kind of glad it's over.
I'm glad I was a kid for it.
Yeah, because
I take no responsibility for anything.
I apologize for your taste level.
Yep.
Like, because I was an only child, I had very 80s centric clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe more than other kids that had to share clothes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I wish I had some of that shit now. It was epic. Like, I'm talking. Think of, like, an 8-year-old girl wearing a fucking blazer with, like, pads in it. That's the shit I'm talking about right
Yeah,
there.
I had the blazers. I had this mix and match outfit that would be, like, they were, like, fuchsia and purple leggings that came with, like, 3 different tops.
Leggings
that
had to be
the,
at least 2 different colors.
Yeah, and then they came with fucking sashes that you'd tie around your waist, and it would just be this fucking shitty belt fabric, and you're like, yeah, I'm looking fucking hot.
Yeah.
Check out my leg warmers and shit. And you're like, what the
hell
are you
doing?
You're
like a 7-year-old, but I had yellow stirrup jeans.
Oh-ho.
Like stretch jeans that were stirrupped, and then I had this enormous fucking blazer in the shoulder. The blazer had a white background with black polka dots and enormous yellow tulips.
Oh,
my
God.
I put that shit on, and I was like, oh, hey, DeBarge, do you need an extra drummer? I had really short hair that spiked, the headband was mandatory.
Yeah.
And I believe I also had one of those flat black Boy George hats.
Oh, yeah.
You can't leave home without it.
No, I had a lot of crimped side ponytails.
Oh, yeah.
And feathered bangs.
Yeah.
This, like, goes together.
Green, pink, purple. A lot of pink, purple, and like turquoise blue.
Yeah, that teal. Fucking crazy.
Excellent. Yeah, it was just like, I picked up my fashion tips from Jem. Was she a cartoon? Yes. Was she fashionable? Yes. All depends on the mood I'm in. So, thank you for taking a stroll with us down memory lane with the sci-fi of the 80s. Very, very specific style and point in time with sci-fi. Everything, just robots and puppets and everything.
Can I make a toy of it? Yes, green light.
And it worked out for them.
I am quite pleased with the decisions that were made.
Yeah, me too. Except for Mac and me. Yeah. I wish I didn't see that. And now I have to watch something else. It's really disturbing.
We can watch E.T.
Yeah, watch E.T. to just get that taste out.
I'll get some Reese's Pieces.
We want to thank you for joining us. Oh, this is the finale to our series 1. This is show number 12.
Yep, our 12th part.
Series 1, we will be going on a hiatus, but we will have some bonus material we will be releasing
bonus
to you. We will be back slightly different, but always on point. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you again before you know it. Have an excellent rest of your summer.
Bye.
Bye.
cadets, thanks again for joining Jerrica Lala and myself, Bunny Sunnydale. Hope you had fun as we journeyed down memory lane to a magical time known as the 80s. Please share your favorite 80s treasures with us. We'd love to hear from you. Next month, we will be on hiatus, but don't worry, we'll be releasing some bonus material during September to tide you over until season 2. Also, I will be embarking on a mythical quest, but Jerrica will stay and carry on the noble, popular parallax tradition in my absence. Stay tuned, and you never know, Bunny just may pop back up as a guest. Winky face. Original music and popular parallax theme by Ken Chamberlain. Thanks again, and stay tuned for the second season of The Popular Parallax. Remember, be bold and have fun.